Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Surrender, you know, even as Troy was talking, God wants all of our heart, and that's such a scary thing. Why is it so scary? Why does it seem like life without self-protection feels like suicide? But really, it's life. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't find it. But in our natural humanness, it seems so scary to be so vulnerable, to be naked and not ashamed. There is no shame in Christ. Jesus took our shame. He knows all of our hairs are numbered. You think he doesn't know what's going on in our heart? And he wants to help us, amen, get free of addiction, of bondage, so we can not only love, but be loved. Sometimes it's harder to let people love you than it is to love others. But that's all what we do at EHS. It's an 8-week course. And it's in small groups, so you really get to know the people in your group. And then we'll have a break during Christmas, and then we'll start up with the EHR, which is Emotional Healthy Relationship course, which is such a good, not just for married couples, it's for friends, for parents, just some skills that you learn how to walk in love. You know, most of us, it was never modeled. It was never modeled to stop mind reading and clarify expectations. It was never modeled how to fight clean. It was never modeled how to have healthy conflict and to share honestly from our heart. So this program really does help you, gives you some tools in your belt how to be a disciple of Christ and to walk in love. Jesus said, anybody can love the lovely. I've called you to love those that are hard to love. And how many of you, most of us, when someone comes in that's hard to love, we kind of book it. He wants us to learn how, and that's what freedom is I can love anybody, anywhere, anytime. That is freedom, and that's what I want. We've been talking about Ephesians. Paul, do you know how to get my scriptures on there? I noticed that I'm doing this, aren't I? It should be Ephesians 6 right there. We started Ephesians. We've been on Ephesians for a while, and it's a powerful book. I'd encourage you all to read slowly through the whole book of Ephesians. Really, it was about how to grow up. What it means to grow up in Christ. We're on Ephesians 6 now. We're coming to the end. And Paul says, finally, my brethren. I mean, I think he was wanting to say, okay, this is really important now. I want you to learn this. But, you know, I believe that the measure of spiritual authority that we use in warfare, you know, Paul says, you're in a fight. You know, he said, put on the full armor of God. He said, because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our people are not our problem. It's principalities and powers and rulers that have dominated. Even from generation to generation, there's patterns of thought that we have been carried down that we're not even aware of because that's all we've known. So the Word of God and the light of God will bring to light areas that He wants to set us free, the areas that we've been in bondage to. But I believe that the measure of spiritual authority that you use in warfare is equal to the depth of your intimacy in worship. You cannot go in war where you have not gone in intimacy. That's why we spend this time that we do just worshiping God, just letting Him have our heart. Some people think, come on, let the songs be done. No, this is where we just surrender. The atmosphere, corporate anointing, when the believers together lift Him up and say, I saw Him high and lifted up. And allow the Holy Spirit to soften the hardness in our hearts. Or those areas where we've shut the door tight in our heart because we've been hurt. And we've made vows and said, nobody will hurt me like that again. Worship will begin to soften that. Will begin you to where you're willing to let Christ put the key in and turn the knob. But throughout Scripture, we find the combination of worship and praise to the Lord and the powers of hell being destroyed. There's something about, this is how I fight my battles. He said, you stand still. You need not to fight in this battle. He said, you send up the praise. I will do the fighting for you. Because you know, it takes faith. It takes faith when everything in your life seems to be falling apart. All your emotions are telling you God isn't real. I don't believe it. It's not working. And you lift up your hands and say, Father, you are good. And you are God, and I trust you. I trust you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He didn't say an occasional inquirer. He said diligent. Do you want a reward? There are rewards when we fling open that door. Throughout Scripture, we find that combination, praise and worship, and the powers of hell being destroyed. When we look at the subject of warfare, we're not talking about conflict with another person, like your neighbor or your boss. It's not human-centered at all. It's actually centered on a spirit realm that has influence over the thoughts and the values of a culture. If we got the scripture here. Did you find it, Rick? Oh, they must have deleted. I'm sorry. Well, you guys just going to have to believe me. This is in the Bible. Hey, who brought their Bible? I was thinking, you know what? I used to always, when I first got saved, we got on our phones, we have it, don't we? But I used to always tote my Bible everywhere. It was all marked up. And, you know, we've gotten away from that. I thought, you know what? I think I need to get back to that, you know, sometimes. I mean, but anyway. So it's vital that we understand that when we're talking about spiritual warfare, that we're talking about not people. It's a spirit realm that influences people. Well, in fact, he says in Ephesians 2, you all were dead. And you were influenced by the principalities and the powers of the air. We all were driven by that until Christ came and took us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. And now we have a brand new spirit. It's like Lazarus when he was in the grave. He comes out, but he was bound in grave clothes, but there's life on the inside. And Jesus said to the people around Lazarus, loose him and let him go. He needed community to get rid of some of those grave clothes because inside there was life. How many of you know us? When we got saved, God did something on the inside of me, but I still have stinking thinking. And that's what he says, be transformed, like Troy read this morning. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Transform is like metamorphosis, like a butterfly, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. As you renew your mind, as you start to line up your thoughts with God's thoughts and see his perspective, you'll be changed. And it's all his doing. He sent his word and he healed us. You know what? He did it all. All we have to do is create space in our life, open up the Bible, and say, Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, change me. Going to church doesn't do it. Being a good person doesn't do it. Only the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor power. It's by his Spirit that we're changed. So God that loves people, if we don't understand that it's not our warfare is not with flesh and blood, then we'll start picking off people as our target. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Because he can get you offended. I was thinking about when John the Baptist walked on the earth, he had a revelation of who Jesus was. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Later on, he was in prison and he started doubting. I mean, you know, doubts come to all of us. And he sent the disciples and said to ask him, is he the one or should we look for somebody else? He started doubting. He was offended. His circumstances were, you know, he was just human. His circumstances were making him be offended and wonder, is this really real? Is this true? And Jesus said, tell John that the lame see, the blind see, the lame walk. And he said, and blessed are those who are not offended in me. Right there, you see, that's a bait of Satan in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is offense. And if we'll not be ignorant of the devil's devices, or we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and mindsets and opinions that come, and just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's yours. You can just let it pass on by. Say, no thank you, devil. I love my husband. No, thank you, devil. I love my wife. I will not judge them. I will not criticize them. I love my children, Father. I thank you. Help us see the good in people and pull it out of them. God loves people, but there's powers at work that persuade people to think through a demonic filter. And they have as much conviction for what they believe as we do for what we believe. So what we're going to have to learn is how to engage in the right battle in prayer, in praise, so that those powers no longer have influence over our thinking and the thinking of those that we have influence over. We can pray. For the God of this world, it says, blinds their minds. But Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. He's given the power to the church. Those you see around you who are influenced by the demonic addictions or whatever, you know what? You have power over the devil that influences them. But you got to take that. Just like if I had a will and I had all these properties and I left it all to Bobby, but she never read the will. She never got the keys. It wouldn't do her any good. Jesus left us an inheritance, and I'm getting way off my sermon. But the mark of the gospel impacting a person's life is liberty, not conformity. It's about becoming a part. It's not about becoming a part of a group where you're controlled, but it's about being entrusted with the divine insight where God trusts you to think for yourself with a biblical template that we're thinking through. Because it's vital that we live according to our design. When you get rid of the designer in culture, you lose reason for a design. And that's what's happening in our schools. And that's why kids don't know who they are. That's why they're a boy and they think they're a girl. They have no identity. They don't know who they are. It's about identity. Ephesians 6 says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces. And he describes an unseen realm that actually influences the thoughts and the values of a culture. Ephesians 6, Paul was basically giving them two commands, 6:10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ultimately, this has nothing to do with our ability to overcome the powers of sin and darkness. It's the Lord's power in us. So you are strong. How strong you are in the natural as a person is irrelevant. Your strength can become a liability in the spirit. Because those places that you feel strong are the places that you don't need God. So remember, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power. Just like when I came to Christ and bowed my knee and surrendered, I knew it was nothing that I did. It was all of him. And I needed him. The same way as we grow, you have to keep that same posture of humility and honesty. Knowledge can puff up. But love edifies. The more knowledge you get, sometimes you think, oh, I got this. That's where religion comes from. So in fact, if you feel weak and unqualified to engage in the spiritual realm, that's a good thing. Because you're more likely to lean on God's power than somebody who feels strong. If dependence, submission, surrender is the objective, then weakness becomes an advantage. That's why Paul said, where I'm weak, he's strong. Therefore, all glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ will rest upon me. Beware of your strengths, not your weakness, because your strengths are those places that you're most likely to forget God, his first command. Now, the second command is to put the whole armor of God on, that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know what, Julie? Would you go over here and get this mic? I want you to pray that you don't want to. You don't have to. Thanks. Maybe at the end. Now, the second command is to put on the whole armor of God. Each of these seven pieces of armor is a way of applying the gospel that Paul's been talking about in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we're in 6 now. Putting these pieces on is how you accomplish this command to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, Paul's message begins with seeing ourselves as weak and trusting all of God's power. Amen. We gain spiritual strength when we embrace our weakness and throw our whole self on God. See, the way up with God is down. When we're weak, He's strong. If you live in a place where you don't feel worthy, then you can't even allow even the good things to come in, all, you know, into your life. Every good thing that comes into your life, you unconsciously find a way to self-sabotage. I've been there. I've done that. In the back of my mind, I want this for sure, but something that mama or daddy or kids growing up or childhood bullying, I carried on into my childhood where I didn't feel worthy. And as searching my own motives, I realized I didn't feel worthy of love and belonging. Even though God had touched my life, He made me a new creature. There were still in my soul things that I had to go back to go forward. Until we get real serious with the Word of God and that He chose me, He adopted me, He called me. I'm His own, and this is the truth. God gave me breath. He formed me in my mother's womb, and this makes me worthy. This makes you worthy. That alone takes guilt out of the story. His thoughts toward me are pure. We are ambassadors. God loves you. He not only loves you, He likes you. He made you just the way you are. You believe that God says that about you, then you get worthy. When life tries to beat you down, it won't matter. You know, I am a child of God. You know, just like Ephesians says, you know, that He sets you high above. He said when He raised from the dead, He took you and He seated you together with Him in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers, and you have an inheritance. An inheritance. The will has been left. We have to read the will. We have to grab hold of the truth. If all you've been is criticized all your life and put yourself down even, that self-hatred, or you know what, you're going to have to get in the Word of God. Not just a one-time thing. You need to meditate. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from my eyes, but I'll meditate on it day and night. Then I'll make my way prosperous. Then I'll have good success. There's some things in our life we have to just take the Word of God. It's a sword, and just dig it out with the Word of God. We have this recording in our mind that no matter what you did, you're programmed to just see the wrong. See what you didn't do right, how you could have done it better. You know, God doesn't see you that way. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. He's crowned you with glory. His royal blood flows through your veins. This is what the gospel is all about. This is why it's good news. There is no shame. There is no guilt. He will take all that former stuff and He makes a new creation of you. So then you have to just agree, let your head agree with your heart. And your body will go that way. Because you know, whatever way your mind goes, if it agrees with your flesh and what you've been told all your life, your body will go that way. We're to agree. But we have to examine our motives. Because behind, if what you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm not this or I'm not that, sometimes that can become an excuse. And that excuse allows you not to be all that God's calling you to be. Don't make excuses. It is finished. He has a great inheritance. He said, oh, it's my Father's good pleasure that you inherit the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. We either yield to fear or we yield to love. Every decision we make, if you'll slow down long enough to pay attention, what's really going on in here? Am I being motivated by fear or am I being motivated by love? Sometimes you got to take time and quiet your mind. Go inside. The kingdom of God is within you. But this is so loud out here, we can't hear it. Unless you purpose to create space in your life to hear. So, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at each piece of armor and see what the application of the gospel is to the vulnerable parts of our life. Verse 13 says, take up the belt of truth. In other words, surround yourself with truth. How do you determine what is right and true in your life? Some people rely on this internal, like if it feels good, do it. Some people rely on their friends or stars, Hollywood, to determine Paul says, the only way for you to overcome the deception of the enemy is to let the word of God establish what is true in every area of your life. Satan's first attack on the human race was to say, has God really said? For centuries, he's been repeating that lie. Are you devoted to the word of God? Do you know it? That's why I'm so big on memorizing scripture, because when the enemy comes, you've got to have the arsenal right there. Pew! You're right there with Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He knew when it was the enemy, and we will too. You know, the Noah counterfeit, you know what they do? They examine the real, and they know that really good. So when a counterfeit comes, it's obvious to them. They don't examine the counterfeit. No, they examine the real money, so when the counterfeit comes up, they know it now. So God wants us to know the word of God. Either the devil will want you to doubt it, or he'll want you to neglect it. Which for the devil works just fine for us to neglect. Get so busy that everything else is more important than taking time with the word of God and the Holy Spirit revealing the word to us. The problem is not that we doubt God's word. We don't give it the priority in our lives that it deserves. He said, attend to my word. Attend. Give it attention. If we really believe that it's God's book, then why would we not be devouring it and saying, God, give me answers. Everything we need is in that book, in this book. The second piece of armor is a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate covers your vital organs. Paul is telling us to saturate every part of our lives in obedience to God so that there's literally nowhere that the devil can penetrate. If you're walking in the light that he gives you, I mean, there's things that we don't even know we're doing, but God doesn't hold you accountable. He asks you to walk in the light that he's given you. And sometimes if you feel like God isn't saying anything, it's probably because he's saying, well, go back and do what I told you to do before. He's not going to give you more instruction until you do the last thing he told you to do. But Satan will use whatever part of you is not surrendered to God. He'll use that as a focal point of attack. Whatever area in our life is not covered with the obedience to God's truth. For example, a bad habit that you have, and we know it's sinful, but I just don't take it serious enough to actually take it to God and say, help me. Or maybe a temptation, and you just feel like you just can't say no. Or just some other area of our life that is not under God's control. And we know, but, you know, God loves me. Well, he does love you, but the devil hates you. Yes. Whatever area is not willfully, it's when it's willfully not brought under obedience to God's word. When he showed us and he's asking us to surrender and we willfully just don't do it, you're opening yourself up for an attack. Going to be the devil's focal point of attack. So let me ask you to consider, what do you think that area would be for you? We all kind of know, I think. The third piece of armor is shoes. Your shoes, preparation, peace. Paul says, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, that your feet are kind of like an offensive weapon. They carry you into battle. Paul says the way that we overcome Satan in the world is by offensive engagement with the gospel in people's lives. Now, there's a couple of things to consider in this. He calls it the gospel of peace because he's talking about extending forgiveness where there's been wrongdoing. And that starts by actively forgiving those people who have wronged you. Perhaps the most powerful way that we have to stop the progress of Satan in the world will extend forgiveness to others that we've experienced forgiveness in the gospel. You give that freely. You've received. Freely give. Nothing makes you more like Satan than to take upon yourself responsibility to get back to everybody who hurt you. There's nothing that manifests Jesus' presence in your life and drives away Satan like offering forgiveness and grace and peace the way Jesus did to us. So we need to be ready. Quickly, freely offer forgiveness. We can't stop the progress of Satan in our lives and the lives of others if we don't freely offer forgiveness. The other implication of peace is that we're going to overcome Satan simply by sharing the gospel with all people in all places, at all times. People can't believe the gospel if they've never heard it. Martin Luther said it this way. He said, it wouldn't matter if Jesus died 1,000 times if nobody ever heard about him. It's aggressively sharing the gospel of peace that overcomes Satan every time. The world thinks God is mad at them. Why? Because the church is mad at each other. Here's our fourth piece of armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith by which you quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan's fiery darts are the lies that he throws out to us about God's love and about his power in our lives. I mean, we see other God work in other people's lives, but we kind of think, oh, God, you wouldn't do that for me. Satan says like things like, you know, this situation that you're in is totally out of control. God has forgotten you. He doesn't care about this. Or maybe he doesn't even exist at all. You might fight those lies with logic, but you can't. You have to hide. What do you do with the shield? You hide behind a shield. The shield is called the shield of faith. It's faith in what God has showed us about himself. He died on the cross. He loved me. He raised me, and he seated me together with him in the heavenlies. He chose me. He called me. He adopted me. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit. You hide behind this shield when the devil's coming telling you you're no good, you'll never make it, you're a failure, whatever he's telling you. You hide behind the shield. The gospel shows us about God. The cross shows us the depth of his love and how far he was willing to go to save us. The resurrection shows us how much power is available for God to accomplish his plans and purpose in our lives. So when I'm holding the shield of faith, I know that whatever else is happening in my life, it's not because God doesn't care. It's not because he's not in control. So I hide behind the shield of faith. Just take your place. Just get quiet and just go in and receive the love of God and know that he's got this because he had a plan before the foundation of the world, and you're going to walk in it because you stay behind that shield of faith. God has a plan. We stay under the shadow of the Almighty, and that's choosing to believe love instead of fear. And that will extinguish all the fiery darts of Satan. And where are the fiery darts mostly? Right here. Here's the battleground in our mind. Again, don't argue with the lies of Satan. Don't reason with him. Just run back into what the gospel tells us is true about God. And cling to that and hide behind it. And I can assure you that Satan will shut up. Because he can't argue with the word of God. And there's our fifth piece. Take up the helmet of salvation on our head. It says, now you need to think saved. You know what? The Bible says that he became sin who knew no sin, that you would be made the righteousness of God, the rightness of God. That when God looks at you, he sees no sense of guilt or shame. He sees Jesus. Behold, my son, whom I'm well pleased. God is pleased with you because of faith in Jesus, not because of what you do, not because of what you haven't done. Because of faith in the Lord Jesus. So you put on the helmet of salvation and you know I am the righteousness of God. And when condemnation comes, you just confess your sin and you know right then and there you are clean. His mercy is new every morning. He forgives your sin as far as the east is from the west. So don't let the devil drag you through condemnation and shame and muck and mire. Because if he can get you to look at you, he's gotcha. As I behold him, I'm changed. If he can get you to look at the blood of Jesus and what the blood of Jesus has done, oh, it's faith in that blood that has made me whole. And keeping my eyes on the blood of Jesus and faith in that blood. Sure, I messed up. God, thank you. You picked me up, and today's a new day, and you're going to teach me more. We learn more from our failures than we do anything else. We can't be afraid to fail. So every morning I saturate my mind in the truth of the gospel. I think we need to bookend our days. Be grateful. Oh, Father, thank you today when I wake up, God. Thank you, God. that you washed me clean, that you made me whole, that you made me a new creature, that old things are passed away, that my mind is being renewed and I'm being transformed day by day. God, I love you, Jesus. Just gratefulness in itself will do so much in our lives. So many times when the devil comes and tries to show us everything we're not, everything we haven't done, and everything we're not going to do, and if we allow those lies, then we can't hear his voice is saying, you are my beloved. I forgive you. Come on, let's go. I have an adventure awaiting for you. The second thing God says, you, God, you are all I need for everlasting joy. That's with the helmet of salvation. In other words, his love is total for you, unconditional. It's enough. And that's how I put on the helmet of salvation every day. The sixth piece of armor is taking the sword of the Spirit, Paul says, which is the word of God. He's telling us to master this book, which gives us the ability to counteract Satan's lies. The only way to fight the lies is to know the truth. And everything that's true in your life is not necessarily the truth. So it says, whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. It's only by getting into his word and getting it deep in our heart and allow the word of God. It's like kind of like your heart is the canvas. The Holy Spirit is the paint and the Father is the artist. And he paints a picture on your heart if you'll get quiet and let and out. And that in that canvas is what he created before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. And you'll just walk in it as you abide in him. He said, abide in me and let my word abide in you and ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. Wow. Why? Because when you abide in him and you let your word abide in you, the desires that you have are what he gave you, what he wants for you. It's the vision that he had before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. But you have to do your part by abiding in him. Don't act out of fear. Fear is the way we get out of abiding in him. So many times we don't even realize that everything we do. One time the Lord spoke to me about the scripture, do nothing through strife or vainglory. And I went before God and I said, God, everything I do is either strife or vainglory. Help me, Jesus. But getting honest with yourself about your real motives. We think we have such good motives, but if you'll let the Holy Spirit show you, he will touch that and he will change it. He's forming Christ in us. That's his will. So Paul goes on to say to be strengthened with might in your inner man. In other words, he wants us to be bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. And that is having a revelation of the love of God. And that's how we pray in the Spirit. You cannot pray in the Spirit if you don't know that you are loved. Praying in the Spirit means, above all, praying with confidence in God's love and his presence in your life. And his good plan that he's working. It also means listening and being sensitive that as you pray, special burdens and movings and callings of God, he'll put on your heart specifically. I don't really pray to God as much as I pray with God in the Spirit. As you listen, praying in the Spirit is how you release the dynamic power of God in your world. The cross shows us how much compassion God had for the world. The resurrection shows us how much power he was willing to use to save it. There's so much power available to us, but we must believe and ask. Do you realize how much power and compassion God has already poured out around you and through you? So often we fail to ask. It begins with asking and believing. God, thank you. Ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask for great outpouring of his Spirit, of his power, of his love, because that's the way we overcome the enemy. The world and the lives of the people that we love is by asking God to fill us with his love. So you don't fix prayerlessness by just ramping up your self-discipline and beating yourself up. No, you fix prayerlessness by believing the gospel. When you believe in your powerlessness and God's willingness to help you, prayer will come as naturally as breathing. So Paul's last words to us tells us that, yes, life is a war. But we can and we should be confident that we have a God who is willing to fight for us. And if we feel weak in that fight, that's a good thing, because that weakness will make us lean more on God's power. When you're weak, he's strong, because dependence on God is our objective. Therefore, weakness becomes our advantage. So the message of Ephesians, from cover to cover, from start to end, be weak in yourself, because remember, you were nothing but a condemned sinner, but he came and he raised you and he called you. And be strong in the Lord is to have crazy levels of confidence in God's grace. Because remember, when you were lost, he chose you. When you were guilty, he forgave you. When you were dead, he raised you and made you alive in Christ. And if God gave all this grace to you when you were his enemy, surely won't he give abundance of grace as his beloved child? That he called you before the foundation of the world. And we'll see things the way he sees them. As we hide behind that shield of faith, we put on the helmet of salvation, knowing that I am righteous because of the blood of Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's the way for him to have glory and honor in the church forever. As we abide in him, and he abides in us. You're here today, and you have never really opened that door in your heart. The Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. If any man will open that door, I'll come in and I'll eat the main meal of the day. He'll be the center of your world. He will walk you through every situation. Even in the fire, you'll not be burned. But he's not going to force the door open. He says, he's knocking. Do you hear the knock today? And even if you have opened the door, maybe you just cracked it. He's asking you, will you open the door? Will you trust my love and my grace for your life? Because I have a plan for good and not for evil. So if you're here today and you want prayer, the front will be open, and I'm asking some prayer warriors here that when you come up, I want to slip out and get to the back door so I can greet. But if you need prayer this morning, we have some people who would love to pray with you. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, you are loved. So be blessed. In him, you are complete. Take your place in him.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.